Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, those who listen to us on Radio 4 or the World Service or the Internet. You are so welcome to go on listening, and it's a joy to welcome four exciting, experienced and talented players of the game. And once again, they're going to display their verbal ingenuity and their humorous talent as they speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting on my right, we have Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud. And sitting on my left, we have Linda Smith and Chris Neal. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, and she's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Malvern Festival Theatre in the heart of Worcestershire. And, Chris Neal, would you take the first round? It is shorts. Shorts. There are all kinds of shorts in this world. Tell us about some of them, starting now.
As it's an unbelievably hot evening, we record this here in Malvern, I find myself wishing I hadn't worn a suit, but instead shorts. Probably you're thinking, I bet he's got gorgeous legs, and you wouldn't be wrong. Actually, tanned, rather muscular. Some have compared me with Michael Owen. And that's where I stop.
Linda challenged.
Well, yeah, hesitation.
Yes, you've mentioned Michael Owen in the comparison. It was enough for him. He paused.
It pulled him up a bit sharp, didn't it?
It did. He caught the visual image himself.
Because he's an honest lad.
That's right, yes. Linda, correct challenge. A point to you. And you have 18 seconds on shorts starting now.
Some shorts are better than others. Claire Short's recent dithering over whether she would leave the government was rather irritating. Shorts that you wear as an item of clothing can be quite difficult for a short person to wear because it just...
Chris Challenge.
You get a repetition of short, Claire Short and short person.
Well, no, she talked about short.
Yeah, but shorts is the subject, not short.
Oh, he's right.
No. I didn't say Claire Short. I said Claire Shorts. So Shorts is a word.
Well, Claire Shorts
said.
Was never
Who's
in
Claire
the government.
Claire Shorts. As in her, as in hers, the action that was hers.
Claire Short's
recent dithering. That makes sense.
I heard the apostrophe and it quite upset me. An incorrect challenge from Chris. A point more to Linda. 4 seconds to go. Shorts with you, Linda, starting now.
Shorts often look better on a taller person, I think. Shorts...
Chris Challenge.
Absolute rubbish.
I should explain to our listeners that...
Don't you dare.
Well, you have to, because they'll wonder why on earth do they laugh at
Tell
that.
Tell them I'm a 6'3" Nordic god. They'll believe it.
I think they've realised now that you're not. Chris is the shortest of all four of us here. That's a kind way of putting it, isn't it? So there we are. But Chris, we will give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed what you said. But Linda was interrupted. She gets a point for that. And she's got half a second on shorts starting now.
Shorts!
So Linda Smith, the bonus point for speaking as a whistle wind, got a strong lead, and she also begins the next round. And the subject is George Bernard Shaw. Tell us something about that great man in this game, starting now.
George Bernard Shaw and his lovely daughter Sandy have a very strong connection with the town of Malvern. He premiered many of his plays here, such plays as...
Chris Challenge. Don't even say it. Just hand in the subject. Chris, you've got a correct challenge. Right. 49 seconds on George Bernard Shaw, starting now.
As we all know, George Bernard Shaw wrote My Fair Lady expressly for Martin McCutcheon.
Clement Challenge. I know
he
what
didn't.
It is. He didn't. Yes, it was Pygmalion was written by Bernard Shaw, and My Fair Lady was Lerner and Lowe, I think. 45 seconds on George Bernard Shaw with you, Clement, starting now.
George Bernard Shaw was particularly well known for his shorts, George Bernard Shaw trousers. But in fact, many of his one-act plays were...
Number challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, right, yes. You have 35 seconds into the subject. Back with you, George Bernard Shaw, starting now.
George Bernard Shaw was a socialist, but he was rather greedy in the name department, having two first names, George and Bernard. Surely one's enough for any sane person. George and Bernard, that's far too many names for one.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of names.
Names, yes, you mentioned names before. Tony, you got in on the subject. 23 seconds available. George Bernard Shaw, starting now.
Like Edward Elgar, George Bernard Shaw was drawn to this delightful area of Malvern. He would premiere many of his plays here, and did the audiences love him? Yes, most certainly, because the people of this fantastic area are very...
Clever Challenge.
We've had an area before.
Not in
repetition.
This
one.
Oh,
yes.
I think Clement is right. Like Edward Elgar, drawn to the Malvern area.
Right.
Yeah. I could do your job, Nicholas.
I think you should concentrate on your own, actually.
I've given up on that one.
Well, listen, this is a strange thing about... They can be as rude as they like to me, and you laugh. If I'm at all naughty to them, you go, ooh! So, 6 seconds, Clement, on George Bernard Shaw, starting now.
Ed St. Lawrence is probably the best-known location of George Bernard Shaw, but his connection with Malvern...
So, Clement Freud within speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now moved forward. He's equal to Tony Hawks in second place behind Linda Smith and then Chris Neal behind them. And Tony Hawks, your turn to begin the subject, Alexander Technique. Tell us about that particular technique in this game starting now.
If I was going to have a hit record, I'd use the stage name Alexander Technique. I think it could be a rap song. In fact, I've done this before in 1998 with a song called Mortar Hello. I know, I'll keep going. Nobody's there.
They were so surprised, but they didn't. But Linda, you buzz first.
A bit of hesitation.
I completely lost the will to live, almost. Right.
47 seconds are available. Linda, you tell us something about Alexander Technique, starting now.
Alexander Technique is a technique whereby you dominate the entire known world of your time and you become Alexander the Great, and that's called Alexander Technique. It seemed to work very well for that particular world leader or...
Chris Charles.
Is there a repetition of world?
Yes, there was.
Yes, there was.
33 seconds. Chris, you have Alexander Technique starting now.
The only Alexander I knew had fantastic technique.
Tony, Charles.
Well, I was going to do him for deviation, but that's not right. No.
you must know something about this Alexander he referred to.
No, actually, I made a mistake. I thought he said Alexandra, but he didn't. And he's...
No, he didn't. Chris, an incorrect challenge. So you have 29 seconds more on Alexander Technique starting now.
But, ooh.
Tony, you challenged?
Yes, I think we could possibly get him for hesitation.
I think you definitely could. So, Tony, you have 27 seconds. Alexander Technique starting now.
I've had a bit of a stiff back recently, and it's affected my right hamstring. Fascinating, I know, but I was thinking of going and having some treatment along the lines of the Alexander Technique. I've become very interested in what they do. It's to do with how you write...
Clement Challenge.
To-dos.
Yes, to-do. So, Clement, 12 seconds, you tell us something about Alexander Technique starting now.
Alexander began with his ragtime band. Come over here, was the first line. And Alexander, after that, developed a technique whereby the first and second...
So, Clement Freud speaking as the whistle Wayne gained the extra point. It went behind our leader, who is still Linda Smith, and they all took it off that subject in different ways, and only one of them referred to what Alexander Technique actually is. So, for those of you who are interested, write to Tony Hawks. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject is the Midas touch. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Midas touch was much warmer than my mum's touch.
Chris Souchanus first.
Hesitation.
I know, he's got it. He said he'd got a big round of applause and just retired on his laurels. Chris, you had the correct challenge. 53 seconds. Tell us something about the Midas Touch, starting now.
Martine McCutcheon starred in a film called The Midas Touch, where she was turned to gold and couldn't speak ever again. Hurrah. It was marvellous. I saw it at the cinema some time ago now in Richmond. I can't remember who starred in this film apart from the lovely M.M., as I call her.
Oh, it's a...
Oh, I thought I was being so clever.
It's a tough, merciless game. Tony M.M., you have the subject and you have 22 seconds, the Midas Touch, starting now.
Well, I tried to tell you a little bit about the Alexander technique in the last round and you weren't interested, but I'll try in this.
Clement, try.
Try.
No,
try.
I tried in the last round. And try, I'll try in this.
Yes, you did. You're right, Tony. Yes, you tried in the last round.
It was similar to short and short.
So, point for an incorrect challenge. 16 seconds, the Midas Touch, starting now.
Midas, I believe, was a Greek king who was given the power of turning things into gold by Dionysus. Anything. Yogurt, he often did, if it took him. Toilet paper.
End of challenge.
Ah, toilet paper.
Well, that was a sort of expressive way of...
She likes it.
Toilet paper.
It wasn't a Proustian moment.
We've all done it. We've all gone, toilet paper.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say yes, but you'd have been better having for deviation because they didn't have toilet paper when Midas was around.
Well, I think if we start pulling on that thread, the whole show comes.
Midas Touch with you, Linda. 2 seconds now on the Midas Touch, starting now.
Midas Touch. It's a fight.
Now, Linda Smith, again speaking as the whistle went to another point in the round, has now increased her lead ahead of our joint second, Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud. But only 1 point behind them is Chris Neal. In the points area, it's anybody's game. And it's Chris Neal's turn to begin. So, you wanted to talk, Chris. Here's your big opportunity. And the subject is a wonderful one for you. My ideal evening. Tell us something about my ideal evening. Oh, they're full of anticipation. The audience can feel it. Just waiting for you to go in your usual lascivious way. Right, here we go. My ideal evening, starting now.
Thank you, Nicholas. I'd like to tell you about my ideal evening. For a start, I would stop being so honest and goody. Gee.
Linda, challenge.
You just stop.
Why can't I say the word ditto? Just work.
Just stop, didn't you, really?
Well, only just.
Can I start again, Nicholas?
It would be a good idea. No, Linda, another point. 53 seconds. My ideal evening starting now.
My ideal evening would involve about 800 or 900 people in a theatre in Malvern. It's such a lovely spot to have an evening that is ideal.
Chris Neal challenge.
Deviation. That's not what she was saying backstage.
Chris, I'll show you how fair I am. I'll give you a bonus point for your remark because the audience enjoyed it. But Linda has a subject, another point. My ideal evening starting now.
My ideal evening would involve rather less of Christopher's famous honesty. It's beginning to pall, I must say. I believe that...
Tony challenge.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation, yes. 34 seconds, Tony. You tell us something about my ideal evening starting now.
My ideal evening would probably be with George Bernard Shaw, were he alive, doing the Alexander technique in the Moreland Hills where he loved to walk, as did Edward Elgar. Now...
Linda challenge.
Edward. Yeah, it's deviation from the man's name.
No, it wasn't. I mean, some people might say Edward instead of Edward. I mean, the thing is, he has to keep
there
going.
There is a big Spanish community in Malta.
Yes, down in the Latin Quarter, Edward Elgar.
There is probably an Edward Elgar somewhere, and that's who my ideal evening would be with.
I don't think you deviated enough within the rules of just a minute when you have to keep going under pressure to for me to take it away from him. So, Tony, another point to you. 22 seconds, my ideal evening starting now.
We would sit there looking out over the delightful views, contemplating life, wondering how important we really are in the scheme of things. Perhaps drinking, getting completely drunk is a possibility. I've never seen George Bernard Shaw. Well, I've been in.
When you've drunk too much, he does become George Bourne. Right. So your challenge, I'll be sure.
My challenge was deviation.
Yes, right. We have you on that pronunciation of deviation. So, Linda, another point to you. And 6 seconds on my ideal evening, starting now.
My ideal evening is rapidly drawing to a close. What a shame. It's been so delightful.
And it could be your ideal evening, because you're moving forward rapidly. Another point for Speaker of the Wizard Wind. You have a strong lead over the other three, who are almost equal in second place. Linda, your turn to begin. And the subject is weeds. Tell us something about weeds in this game, starting now.
Weeds are often described as flowers in the wrong place, so a bunch of roses in an asthmatic's bedroom would be weeds. I'm a keen gardener, and weeds are the bane of my life. Bindweed, brambles, any kind of weed gets on my nerves. I notice...
Chris, challenge.
Was there a repetition of weed?
No,
any kind
weeds.
Of weed?
No. Well, I don't know. No. I'm sure there was two weed.
No, she talked about weeds all the time, but she did say weed at the end, but I think she only said weed once. But keep listening. Linda, another point. Weeds are still with you, and there are 43 seconds available, starting now.
I noticed that that braless TV gardener, Alan Titchmarsh, never has very much trouble with weeds. Notice I was very careful to use the plural of that plant, just...
Clement, for a challenge.
Three vats.
Three that's we do condone. So 29 seconds, Clement, on weeds, starting now.
My ideal evening would be looking for weeds, and I'd begin at the Worcester Cricket Ground, where there is more weed than grass, I'm told. In my day, a bowler called Red Perks was the...
We'll never know what he was. He hesitated.
Tony, you had a correct challenge, and you have 13 seconds, weeds, starting now.
If at school you weren't particularly tough, the horrible boys would call you a weed. It never happened to me, because I was quite strong. I've lost a lot of that strength now, as you can see, but it's been a hell of a long evening.
Tony Hawk, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained an extra point, another point in the round. He's moved ahead of the Clement Foyd and Chris Neal, who are equal in third place, but he's 4 points behind our leader, who is still Linda Smith. And Tony, it is your turn to begin. And the subject is teenagers. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
I think it would be nice if they could invent a pill that would get adolescents out of the way in one rebellious, spotty lunchtime. It's a miserable time of your life, and as a teenager, I wasn't particularly happy. You get spots sometimes, particularly when you're attractive.
Linda Challenge.
A little,
Particularly when you're, yes, right. Linda, another point to you. 38 seconds, tell us something about teenagers, starting now.
Teenagers go through so many physical changes. They tend to put on a lot of weight, all on their bottom lip, because they seem to pout all the time and have problems with their feet because they can only wear trainers that cost 500 quid.
Tony, you challenge.
There are two becauses.
Yes, there were two becauses. Yes.
That's so not fair.
But you got your joke out about the trainers, which was very good.
That's
right.
The main thing, isn't it, really, Nicholas?
Yes. Well, it was so appreciated. 26 seconds, Tony, on teenagers, starting now.
Why must I be a teenager in love? One of my favourite songs, had I been alive.
Linda Challenge.
I think I was uncalled for in the city of Edward Elgar, really.
Any other challenge when the rules are just a minute?
No, just musical taste.
Just musical taste. A point to Tony because he was interrupted. 19 seconds, teenagers, Tony, starting now.
I would listen to the radio as a teenager, hope.
Chris, challenge.
I've definitely heard teenager twice.
Yes, you did say teenager before.
This is your little area where you specialise.
Yes, my area of expertise.
Yes.
I'm singularly interested in this particular field.
You're a plurals man, obviously. Mm. Right. Chris, correct challenge. 15 seconds. Tell us something about teenagers starting now.
Somehow, I can't imagine Nicholas Parsons was ever a teenager. I should imagine he was born into the world at the age of 56, at least. When you look at him, he's terribly fresh fruit.
Who's in the challenge?
Fresh fruit.
I was speaking Catalonian at that moment.
Right. No, 4 seconds. Linda, you've gone in with 4 seconds on teenagers starting now.
Teenage...
Who challenged? Clement.
Hesitation.
Oh, well, because you're going to bet on him winning, haven't you? And you're doing it now. So you're going to lose the money and have to give it to Clement. Right. Incorrect challenge. Got.
Can you hesitate before you've even started?
Yes. You went to half a second when that's all.
Oh, right, okay.
You have 3.5 seconds on teenagers starting now.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. You had the point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I thought it was. I thought Clement did a correct challenge.
I'm afraid not. No.
Oh.
He has now.
You have now. That's the correct one, Clement. You've got 2 seconds on teenagers starting now.
Between the ages of 12 and 20, there's little else.
So, well, there's 3 of them very close in second place. Clement Freud, Christine and Tony Hawkes. Linda's still in the lead, and Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is doctor's orders. Tell us something about that, if you can, in 60 seconds, starting now.
In the armed forces, one used the term doctor's orders.
Tony Challenge.
Sorry, it's a bit harsh,
but... It's a bit soon, isn't it?
It's a bit soon. It was a bit soon.
It was a bit soon, but Clement wouldn't have forgiven me in a similar situation, I don't think.
I think you may be right. Tony, doctor's orders starting now.
I used to work in a fish and chip shop near a hospital and took a lot of doctor's orders, mainly for haddock and chips, cod and the same, pickled onions, that kind of thing. I've lasted Clement's... oh, I've let it.
Linda, you challenge.
Hesitation,
yes, Linda, come on. 34 seconds, doctor's orders with you, and starting now.
Doctor's orders. On doctor's orders, I started to go to a gym, but then his wife found out, and that was the end of that. So I don't think doctor's orders are always a very good thing to follow. My doctor orders me about something chronic. It's very annoying. I think he perhaps oversteps the bounds of the patient... Doc!
Chris Challenge.
Was that a hesitation?
It was a hesitation, Chris.
Oh, it certainly was, Chris.
Yes. Are you waiting for your plurals again, Wayne?
I was, really, but I thought, well, I have to look at new pastors. Stay in the same old place.
Right. 13 seconds, Chris. Neil, you tell us something about doctor's orders starting now.
They're what the doctor... Is someone suggesting that might have been a hesitation?
All their buzzers went, all their fingers went, but Tony's, you were infinitesimally earlier because your light eliminated the others, and you have hesitation, of course, yes. 11 seconds, doctor's orders starting now.
I try not to go to the doctor very much. I would prefer to use other methods. The Alexander technique springs to mind. But I think they're too keen to prescribe.
I think that he's getting to all of us. Linda, yes.
That hesitation.
Yes, I haven't heard so many fluffs on words since this show began. Right, you got in cleverly with one... One second to go, Linda, on doctor's orders starting now.
Doctor's orders
And so Linda, speaking as the whistle went, got another point, increased her lead, and we're moving into the final round, alas. Oh, yes, we've enjoyed as much as you. And so... let me give you the situation. Clement Freud and Chris Neal are equal in third place, and I think with only one round to go, they don't have a much chance of overtaking Linda, but you never know, things have happened.
No, let's try not to be so defeatist about it, Nicholas.
Tony Hawkes is in second place, but he's at quite a few points behind Linda, who's in the lead. But Chris, Neil, it's your turn to begin, and the subject, I think, is ideal for you. Going to the supermarket. 60 seconds, starting now.
In London, there is a district called Islington, which has an absolutely supermarket in Chapel Street. You can go from one end to the other and buy mops or carrots or turnips or old cassettes.
Linda Challenge.
Rather a lot of oars.
There were a lot of oars. We don't like too many oars in this...
No, obviously not.
Right. Linda, another point. 49 seconds. Going to the supermarket, starting now.
Going to the supermarket these days is much more exciting than going to the supermarket with my mum when I was little used to be, because the products she bought were very dull, such as Trout Hall grapefruit segments. I used to think that the fruit-based product was tinned...
Clement Challenge.
I think that was hesitation.
That was hesitation. 30 seconds, Clement, on going to the supermarket, starting now.
You can enhance your enjoyment of going to the supermarket by taking a trolley that only has three wheels. Especially if it should have four. I have had the most extraordinarily happy moments in many supermarkets with...
What a challenge.
Once again, he needs to get out more, doesn't he?
And within the rules of just a minute...
There was a hesitation.
Right, Tony, 13 seconds on going to the supermarket starting now.
I don't like it when you get to the checkout and you've got your goods and they give you a £20 note or you pass one to them and they hold it up and check it. When they do that, I...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of check.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the checkout and you throw the check.
Checkout's one word.
It's hyphenated and that's the muddy area.
It has become one word in some people's way of speaking. And certainly supermarkets put it as one word. But it is originally check out, then it became hyphenated. If it's gone to one word, it is incorrect. It is check out. He said check out. He said it's two words, check, to the checkout, and you said check. I think it should be a repetition of check, and who is it said? I don't know who. The challenger.
Come on.
It really matters. Can you get so passionate about such rubbish? Yes, it can, but you enjoy it, don't you? Right, Clement, you have a... Who's challenged who? Yeah, right, Clement. 3 seconds, another point to you. Going to the supermarket, starting now.
In Czechoslovakia, I go to supermarkets...
Right, so after all that tension, and with the heat as well, it was difficult. But I'll give you the final situation. Chris Neal, who did so well when we were here in Malvern before, he finished this time just in fourth place, but his value was invaluable. Oh, God, I'm having trouble with words now. Equal in second place were Clement Floyd and Tony Hawkes, but they were 5 or 6 points behind Linda Smith. So, Linda, you made it. You are our winner this week. Wonderful. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game. Linda Smith, Tony Hawkes, Chris Neal and Clement Freud. I also thank Dinah Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle so charmingly. And we also thank our producer, Claire Jones, who does such a delightful job. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we do thank this lovely audience in the Festival Theatre in Malvern, who've cheered us on our way, in spite of the heat. From our audience in Malvern, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from our panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes.